Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to this edition of The Long Talk here on New Zealand Sports Radio. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host today and I've got an absolute cracking chat for you today. We're going into a new area. We've never talked motorsport before and that's where we're heading with Jessica Sitz, who is a navigator in the PSP New Zealand Jet Sprint Championship. That's right, those little boats that zoom around little lakes and islands and stuff. But we'll find out more of that as we talk to Jess. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad at all. Not bad. As I say, this is a totally new area for us, which is going to be fantastic. But we always start these with a very simple question. What's your very first sporting memory?
Oh, my very first sporting memory. I would say it's actually wrestling, which is really odd. But it was more because I grew up with, you know, male cousins. And it's more them practicing wrestling moves on me because they really enjoyed wrestling. So that's probably my very first sporting experience, which has probably toughened me up a little bit and also made me a little bit of a tomboy growing up as well. But, hey, I don't mind it.
Fantastic. I've not heard that. But most of them, it's kind of like, quite often it's waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and watching All Blacks tests and things like that. But no, wrestling, brilliant. That's
it. Yeah, I know, something different. Yeah, they used to love, you know, WWE and like I remember The Undertaker and The Kane and all those sort of old school wrestling guys, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin and
Hulk Hogan, is that his name as well?
we're going back a bit further with Hulk Hogan and, and that kind of piece, but yes, oh brilliant. So during school were you a sporty kid? You just said you were a bit of a tomboy, so did you get involved in sports through school as well?
Yep, a little bit. So I did a bit of tennis and also a bit of netball growing up in school, but now I do quite a bit of touch, indoor netball, and also boxing as well. So boxing just for fitness. Yeah, I did do one corporate boxing match actually, which really challenged me. I drew. But definitely challenged me mentally and physically, because I guess you never want to hurt anyone, but you know, at the ring, you have to forget about all that and just be in the zone and get that mongrel mentality out of you, I guess.
Well, as Mike Tyson said, we all have a good plan until someone hits you in the face.
yep, definitely that first hit, I was like, I'm not taking this.
I have interviewed a friend who did white collar boxing a number of years ago now, and he did just how tiring it is just holding your hands up the whole time. You just don't really kind of consider that as a non-boxer.
They always tell you to have your hands on your face the whole time, because if your hands are like this and they hit your hand, you're going to hit yourself pretty much. Don't want to be doing that.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, very good. So did you ever get to any kind of through sort of netball and tennis, did you ever get to any kind of level or as in rep level or just school stuff and club stuff for fun?
Not just school stuff. It's just more social. But social can never be quite that social. But yeah, it's just more with friends now, which I quite enjoy. And it's just more to get out there and get fit because I like to eat. So have to, you know, you can't get too big, especially sitting in a Jetsman boat. Yeah. Well, can't be too heavy, weighing the boat down.
So how, actually, on that, we'll do just a very quick aside here, but how important is it that you're a similar size to your driver for balance in the boat?
It's not too important. Actually, the first question they did ask me to get me into the sport was how much I weighed.
Right.
And maybe I met that criteria, which is why they really wanted me to be a navigator.
So this is basically this is a bit like jockeys. This is a kind of or coxes in rowing, where you're the smallest person doing the steering.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, all those sports we've talked about basically are kind of apart from the tennis one, they're all kind of team sports. They involve running around. None of them involve kind of like bikes or motorbikes or cars. Or so, how do you go from a running around sport into a motorsport? I mean, did you like riding your bike down steep hills quickly? Did you, have you done any go-karting or any rallying or any of that kind of stuff?
Not too much. I've done, I love adrenaline. So, I've bungee jumped off the Harbour Bridge. I've jumped off the Sky Tower. I've done parasailing, paragliding. I've done all those adrenaline stuff. So I guess hopping into a boat, it was not kind of like a no-brainer in a way, but also some liquid courage did help me as well. So how it all happened was basically I went to my first ever jet sprinting prize giving as a sponsor, representing PSP. And it was, mixing and mingling with some of the drivers, and one driver happened to be out of a navigator. So last season. Mm-hmm. So they asked me, what do you weigh? What do you do? That sort of thing. And this was after a few, drinks as well. And I was like, I'll be happy to jump in, given no experience, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I guess the next morning they messaged me and was like, so you know what you committed yourself to? And I was like, yes, I guess so.
So, folks, if you do go along to a jet sprint event and someone walks up to you and asks you your weight, they're not being rude, okay?
No, they're not. They're actually trying to poach you to be part of their team.
So there you go. Cool, and that's all right. So all right. So no experience in motorsports events. You hadn't even, I guess, you might have seen a few clips on YouTube or something, but you'd never actually. And obviously, they'll have had some clips during the prize giving. But that was the extent of your experience before you were being poached to be in a in a team, eh?
Pretty much, exactly that. But haven't regretted ever since, though. So it's been good.
Cool. What does a navigator do then in the boat? Obviously, we can see what the driver does. They turn the steering wheel and decide which way they're going. I know that in speed boating, offshore speed boating, they have one guy who steers and one guy who does the throttle. So do you do the throttle or is that the driver as well? And do you just what do you do?
I basically help the driver or reassure the driver that he's going the right way. So with the jet sprint track or every round, there is a certain direction that we have to go. So we get a map and a series of numbers that we kind of have to memorize. And it's my job to kind of point them in the right way, like left or right. But some teams, they actually have intercoms. So they say, hard left or, hard right. Whereas with us, me and Ollie, we'll just be using our hands to kind of navigate that way, just point them in the right direction pretty much.
does each course have a set route, or can they change it up between them? So once you do say the merry course. Do you know that course for next year, or can they change it between between years?
Oh, they change it every year. So every year is a different rotation, I guess. Yeah. So always have to study the map. Yeah, pretty much.
So the island layout is the same, but the way you drive around them changes. Right.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah. Just to help out with, you know, newcomers to the sport, so it's not, you know, an unfair advantage, I guess, because everyone has to learn a different rotation.
Yeah, it also keeps it interesting as well. If it's the same course, as you say, some drivers might like a technical twisty course, and some drivers might like a one with more straights, etc. Hence, it also means that you're not going to get the same winner or the same style of winner at each race course every year.
Yeah. Exactly.
But the actual where the islands are, those are fixed, aren't they? You have fixed courses, and then you have purpose-made courses occasionally for events. But on the whole, it's at fixed courses that you guys race.
Yeah, and it's just the way we go around the course is different.
Cool. Yeah. Now, I'll be honest, watching it, because I've done a little bit of research and watched a few events, it just looks random. When you watch a couple of runs, you can see that they've gone similar ways, or they look pretty similar, but you can't actually, it's very difficult as a spectator to see what is the route and where they're supposed to go, I guess. There's no kind of billboards up, is there?
No, there isn't. I mean, we do share on our Facebook page, you know, where, you know, what the rotation's going to be, but I guess maybe hopefully you'll get to come to Mary Mary, and then you might be able to figure out the rotation then after a few boats going the same way.
I've even got myself a cameraman to come along as well. There's going to be two of us. We are booked in and we'll be there. Awesome. So just to bring people up to speed then. So the jet sprinting in New Zealand basically is organized by the New Zealand Jet Sprint Association, and you guys have obviously have your championship, which is for this season is five rounds, and it's a summer event, folks. So it runs from November through till April, and there are three categories across that as well. Is that the only events, or are there lower events that people where a lower entry sort of events, or is it literally just five events of the year?
Yeah, it's just the five events this year. Normally it's about six rounds, but we just dropped around this year.
Right. And so across those there are three categories. Do you want to just give an idea as to what the as to what the three categories are and what's the difference between the boats?
Yep. So we've got the Group Bs and Group As, and also super boats. So Group A is the category we're in, and it's you're restricted with the engine size and what you can do with the engine. So with us, I think it's 6.7 cubic liters or something that you have to keep within the size, and it's just how much horsepower you can get out of that engine size. Similar with the Group B, so it's a bit slower and they're a bit smaller engines. And then with the superboats, it's basically unlimited, so you can do whatever you want to the engine, however money you have, like you can just pour it all in and just go super fast. So with the Group A's, we go up to 650 horsepower, and then with the superboats, it's 950 onwards up. So it's really, really fast.
Cool. Now, is that just a category for New Zealand, or is that a worldwide set of categories that exist?
Yep. So worldwide is Group A's and also the superboats, and then Group B is just the additional just for New Zealand.
Right. Okay. So, you mentioned that you navigate for the world champion. So, I guess that makes you the world champion in Group A, right?
I guess so. Yep.
Oh dear me! You're playing yourself down. You are the world champion navigator at Group A level. So, which countries get involved in this? I mean, where did you go for the world championships? And how many different countries? How international is this sport?
Yep, so we did it a couple of years ago in Australia, the World Championship, and I guess the other countries that participated were America, Canada, and also Australia and New Zealand. So it's just basically four countries that we competed. So we went the first, so it's basically two rounds. The first round was just outside of Adelaide, called a little town called Keith. And then the second round was in just over the, I think, New South Wales area, the Karrabeeta, I think, something like that. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, so English speaking countries. Yeah, as you say, yeah. Canada, the USA, Australia, and New Zealand, the main countries. Have you raced in Australia or Canada?
No, we haven't actually. So we've just only raced in Australia and New Zealand. So just those two countries at the moment. Yeah. Cool. I think that, well, the next world champion was supposed to be in America, which we were planning on going to. But given the whole COVID situation, unfortunately, that's just been put on hold for now.
Yep. And I mean, entering those events, obviously, you take your own boat. It's not like you, it's not some fixed class where you sort of rock up and all use the same boats. So, yeah, there's a certain amount of expense that goes into this to be able to compete in those overseas events. How, as you said, you represent a sponsor, so you clearly have a full-time job with PSP. How professional are the teams? I mean, are they all amateur racers, sort of self-funded, or how does that all work?
Yeah, so there's a mixture. So some people are self-funded, and then also some people do have sponsors and stuff as well. So it's a mixture of both.
But even the ones with sponsors aren't full-time drivers, are they? They have a day job as well. No, it's not a full professional sport.
No, not at this stage. We would like to, though.
Yep. Let's see if we can grow that up and. We'll be having a chat with them about that. So fantastic. That's so coming into the third round, how are you guys doing this season?
Not doing too bad. We're sitting tied for first place at the moment. So anything can happen because it is 1 point difference between each placing. Right. So we came second in the last round, which was in Whanganui. And then we came first in... the first round.
In Featherstone, yep.
Yeah.
So folks, just so you know where they're going to be, obviously Featherstone, not obviously, but Featherstone was back on the 21st of November. On the 27th of December, they went to Whanganui. We're in Merrimerri on the 20th of Feb. On the 21st of March, they're down in Whanganui. And then the final round is in Wanaka. Yep. So two trips to Whanganui. Sorry?
Pardon?
The 3rd of April, yes, sorry. two trips to Whanganui. So obviously it'll be the same track, but different course on that track is what you're saying for that one. So just because you came second last time doesn't mean you're going to come second again this time.
Yeah, hopefully not. And Merrimerri is our home track as well, so we have our fingers and toes crossed that we'll do well in that round as well.
So how does someone get in, if someone wanted to be a jet sprint driver, how do they get into it?
I guess if you like the speed, you're brave enough to, you know, race around a little man-made river track, and you've got the money to invest in a boat and time, then, yeah, anyone's welcome to join the sport. It's quite a nice culture with the jet sprinting community as well, so very welcoming. If you're new to the sport, we're more than happy to help you out, I guess, because with each round, you're not competing against other people on the track at the same time, so it's really just you and your team, you know, one at a time. So that's why it's quite friendly, and it is. Oh, we have that, you know, that banter with everyone as well. Like, you know, I hope you stuff up, or you know, that sort of thing. But it's, you know, it's a friendly competition.
And it is, as you say, it's one boat on at a time. It's a time trial style sport. Yeah. Rather than a race to first over the line, which means from a safety point of view, If you think about, yes, sure, you do go from naught to 100 and something odd in a matter of seconds, and there are no breaks. There's just you on the course. So from that point of view, it's relatively safe that you're not going to get sort of bashed or crashed into or anything like that.
Definitely not.
You are traveling at over 100 clicks an hour without any breaks, so accidents do happen. Have you rolled the boat before, or how good is your driver from that point of view?
If he's listening, he is really good. He's a great driver. That's why I, navigate with him. We've only done a couple of minor crashes, which is, clipping the bank and doing like a 360 in the air and then coming back to the ground. So nothing too serious. Haven't flipped or been upside down in the water just yet, touch wood. Because I guess, 3 seconds under the water could feel maybe like a minute. So touch wood, definitely don't want that to happen.
No, absolutely. And when you're saying 3 seconds, the reason that you can do that is because, look, jet boats don't, because it's water, it's not actually that deep, is it, that you're racing around in, because they're being jet boats, they don't have a deep keel or anything.
No, yeah. So the water's only really knee length deep, maybe a bit higher, and you're really just gliding along the water.
Which means that the marshals can jump in the water and turn the boat back over, having watched one crash, and suddenly you've got all these, what you've seen has been people sort of zooming around on boats, and you think, oh, it's kind of deep, and then all these marshals running through the water to help it takes a while for your head to get used to that kind of concept.
Because
it's all muddy, obviously, because the boat's running through it, you don't actually can't see the bottom either. So it could be as deep as Loch Ness. I don't know. So fantastic. That's the what's 7 years now has been that you've been navigating all with the same driver?
Different drivers. So I've navigated for a guy called Andrew Guffreys for a couple of years. And then I had a year break and then jumped in with Ollie. So I think this is our fifth year together now.
And so what are your goals or aspirations as in jet sprinting? How far do you want to go?
Definitely want to try get our five-peat this year. So we've won it, four times before. So definitely want to try secure that this coming season.
What, and that's it, and retire on the top, or years to come, you think, navigating?
We'll see how it goes, because my dad doesn't know I do this just yet. So maybe when he finds out and he freaks out, then I might have to stop.
Yeah. Jeez, what you've been doing for 7 years. You're fine already, and you're a grown lady. You can make your own choices on these things.
I know, but I'm still dancing with you, unfortunately.
So cool. So, folks, Jessica's been great and has organised, hopefully, for me to get in a boat next weekend. Weekend after next. Looking forward to that. So I'm going to go out and buy myself a couple of GoPros, so you can look at how scared I look as I nip around a track. So look out for that on the channel. Also, I'm going to be having a chat with Ollie, Jess's pilot or driver, whatever he's called. We'll find out that from him and how he got into the sport as a driver as well. And as I say, myself, we'll be down there at Mary Mary on the 20th of Feb, bringing you some coverage of the event. So really looking forward to that. So thank you, Jess, for your time. It's been great to have your chat.
Yeah.
And folks, look out for lots more jet sprint coverage here on New Zealand Sports Radio.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.